Welcome one and all to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School time. Welcome to those joining us on the phone, listening to the recording. I'm glad to have you with us in fellowship today. Before we get into our study book, it's time for opening prayer, and let us please bow our heads and our knees. And precious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have this privilege and honor to come before thy throne through the blood, merits, and righteousness of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray that thy presence will be here in our midst, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit as well. And may we receive a rich blessing of truth, light, understanding, and may we comprehend the precious lessons of truth that are found in thy word of inspiration. Thank you for thy love. We love you too. And thank you that thy truth is spreading like wildfire around this world, lightening the darkness, dispelling it, and letting precious souls have that privilege to look up and live by beholding and following the Savior. And we pray that more and more will do so. We also lift up those that have requested prayers for healing. And we thank you, dear Savior, for being their great physician and for bringing health back to them, whether mental, spiritual, or physical. And thank you that we can come to thee in any time of need, without being turned away or refused. So thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being in our midst now. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. So again, welcome, dear ones. And we're continuing in our study book of Desire of Ages, and you can find this book on our website at lightministries.com/ID621.htm. We're in the chapter titled Not With Outward Show, which is chapter 55, and we're about a third of the way down on halfway down on page 509. To the paragraph that begins, The Government Under Which Jesus Lived. Thank you, dear sister, for putting the link in the room. And the last thing that we were discussing before we ended was that Christ's kingdom is not on this earth. It will be after the 1,000 years, but at the moment it's not here on this earth. Which means that his kingdom at this time is not a temporal or literal kingdom on this earth that's to be established and defended and fought for, etc. But his kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And we find entrance into that spiritual kingdom through Jesus Christ. And in accepting Jesus Christ, we're to do so with our whole heart. We can't serve two masters. We're not to have a divided heart. We're to be 100% for Jesus or 100% for the devil. No middle ground, no fence riding. So that means that since Christ's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom and we accept Jesus with our hearts, then the entrance into Christ's kingdom at this point in time is from our hearts. That's why Christ mentioned that the kingdom of God is found within. It's found in our hearts. So then those who believe that they have to take up arms or they have to work in such a way to overthrow corruption in the government through force, those who believe that they have to use intimidation and force to try and get people to follow their particular understanding of truth or their doctrines or church dogmas, etc. are not following the Christ of the Bible. They're trying to establish a literal kingdom, whether it's religious or governmental, on this earth in the name of Christ, whereas Christ already plainly stated his kingdom is not of this world. If it was, my followers would fight, but it's not of this world. It's spiritual. The Jews wanted a literal kingdom. They wanted a Messiah to come and literally conquer their enemies and make the Jews the rulers of the world. And since Christ was not going to do that, his mission was to work on their hearts, not on their place in society, then they rejected him. And many are doing so today. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at this new paragraph. The government under which Jesus lived was corrupt and oppressive. On every hand were crying abuses, extortion, intolerance, and grinding cruelty. Yet the Savior attempted no civil reforms. He attacked no national abuses, nor condemned the national enemies. He did not interfere with the authority or administration of those in power, which at the time was the Romans. He who was our example kept aloof from earthly governments, not because he was indifferent to the woes of men, but because the remedy did not lie in merely human and external measures. To be efficient, the cure must reach men individually and must regenerate the heart. So passing laws was not the answer. Getting rid of corrupt officials out of the government was not the answer. Trying to bring about legislature to cure extortion, intolerance, cruelty was not the answer. The answer was to reach the heart of individuals. That was Christ's mission. And that's still the mission of all of his followers. So those that are truly following Christ will not take up arms to defend their nationality, their pride, their way of living. Those that are truly Christian followers of Christ seek a better kingdom. They're ambassadors of a heavenly kingdom. And thus their work is not to overthrow anything of the temporal kingdoms in which they live. Their work is to reach the hearts of humanity with an uplifted Savior, not an uplifted gun. An uplifted Savior. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions? Please feel free.
Not by the decisions of courts or councils or legislative assemblies, not by the patronage of worldly great men, is the kingdom of Christ established, but by the implanting of Christ's nature in humanity through the work of the Holy Spirit. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John 1:12-13. Here is the only power that can work the uplifting of mankind. And the human agency for the accomplishment of this work is the teaching and practicing of the word of God.
Amen, and thank you, dear brother. So how is the conversion of hearts to be accomplished? How is the change to be wrought among human beings that would bring about a change in the government, eliminating extortion, intolerance, grinding cruelty, abuses? Amen. Jesus in the heart. And how are they going to know there's a Savior without someone telling them there's a Savior? And how are those to tell them of the Savior without knowing of Him? And how do we know of the Savior if we don't have the Word of the Bible? So Christ is the only one that can uplift mankind, and we find Christ brought out in the Scriptures. And where you and I come into play is by teaching and practicing what we find written in God's Word. God's Word is the only power that can establish a difference in society, not by force, but by one converted heart after another. That's where we come into play. When our heart is converted, when we have a living Jesus within us, then by our practicing the life of Christ and our teaching others about the Savior from God's Word, that will reach out to another heart, and in turn another one from that. And in turn, more and more hearts converted to Christ will work about greater Christianity, practicing of righteousness throughout the land. Amen. Giving your personal testimony goes a long way to uplifting the Savior, making Him real to those who listen to your testimony. Amen indeed.
When the Apostle Paul began his ministry in Corinth, that populous, wealthy, and wicked city polluted by the nameless vices of heathenism, he said, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified," 1 Corinthians 2:2. Writing afterward to some of those who had been corrupted by the foulest sins, he could say, "But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 6:11-4.
Amen. Thank you, sister. So notice here that when Paul was in the midst of that wicked city of Corinth, he did not go about attacking the abuses that were taking place there. He didn't go about trying to work so that new officials could be elected to replace the corrupt officials. He didn't become involved in politics. He didn't become involved in civil reforms. The only thing he was interested in is uplifting the Savior and bringing precious souls to Him, reaching their hearts with the gospel truth was his mission work. And it's also to be our mission work. Continuing. Now, as in Christ's day, the work of God's kingdom lies not with those who are clamoring for recognition and support by earthly rulers and human laws, but with those who are declaring to the people in his name those spiritual truths that will work in the receivers the experience of Paul. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Galatians 2:20. Then they will labor, as did Paul, for the benefit of men. He said, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That's 2 Corinthians 5:20. So Paul uses the word here to refer to Christ's followers as being ambassadors. What's an ambassador? Amen. An ambassador is a representative. A representative of what? Amen. A representative of a kingdom. So that means that an ambassador is a member of another kingdom that has been sent to the host nation that he resides in to represent that kingdom that he's from. So he's not interested in the political aspect of the host nation or kingdom that he's residing in. His whole purpose is to represent the kingdom that he's from, to represent the king of that kingdom who sent him there. That's what an ambassador is. So we as Christians have become ambassadors for Christ. That means that the nation that we reside in is our host nation, because we're members of a heavenly kingdom. We're representatives of a heavenly king. So then as ambassadors, we are part of a spiritual kingdom. And we're to represent the king of that spiritual kingdom, Christ, to all of those around us in the host nation that we reside in. So then we don't become involved in politics, because our host nation is not who we're members of. We don't become involved in the legislature. We don't become involved in seeking to pass laws and bills. We don't become involved in electing officials, because we're not members of the kingdom we reside in. We're ambassadors of a different kingdom. Amen. Just like an embassy in the various nations of the world. So we're ambassadors for Christ. We're not ambassadors for the United States or for Canada or for Uganda or for any other nation in the world. We're ambassadors for Christ. And as ambassadors, we don't pick up arms. We don't fight for our rights. We represent the kingdom of heaven and its king, Jesus Christ. That's who we work for. That's who we live for.
I'm sorry, Elder Rob. This is for the Spanish-speaking individual. My sister asked me a question, which I myself don't know. She says that why the embassy is spelled with an E and not an A.
I really don't know the answer to that. Anyone else here know the answer to that? The question was, if the ambassadors reside at the embassy, then why isn't the embassy spelled with an A instead of an E? I don't know the answer.
No, Elder, I'm sorry. My sister wanted to know why embassy is spelled with an E and not with an A, since ambassadors is with A.
You know, but Bob, does anybody know the reason why embassy and ambassador are begun with two different words, letters? When I was studying French, the question was brought up, why were the verbs translated the way they were from some other language, I guess, some original language? And the teacher said, well, probably because some monk sitting around in a monkery, what do they call a monkery? Monastery, thank you, decided on how they would be. And a lot of our etymology, probably that's words about study of words, came from Roman Catholicism, because the monks used to be teachers, I guess, and they invented.
And the answer's put in the room. It says a modern embassy is a modern variant of the obsolete word ambassy, which is from the Middle French ambassy, which means mission or embassy. So thank you for that. So I guess originally it was spelled with an A, ambassy, instead of embassy, but it's modern ways is changed it to an E. So we're to be ambassadors for Christ. And that means as ambassadors, we don't become involved in the political arena of our host nation. Our focus is on representing the heavenly kingdom and the heavenly King, Jesus Christ. And that's a pretty weighty responsibility, to be an ambassador for your king while you're living in a foreign land. That's a very weighty responsibility, because if you do something that misrepresents your king or brings reproach upon his kingdom, then he's not going to be very happy with you. You might just lose your ambassadorship. Someone else may replace you, and you be brought to shame, maybe even perhaps kicked out of the kingdom, no longer his representative. So accepting Christ as your Savior, being baptized in him, representing him to others, being his ambassador, that's a very weighty responsibility. And a lot of people take it for granted that it's no big thing to accept Christ as the Savior. That sort of gives you a ticket to heaven and you can continue to live like the world. But that's misrepresenting Christ, not representing him correctly. That's why we must have Christ living within us. We must be born again in his image, a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's the only way to rightly represent him before others. Otherwise, we're going to misrepresent him and lead people astray into thinking that there's no difference between the world's ways and Christ's ways. And may God forgive us for misrepresenting the Savior. And may he give us greater grace and strength and insight, wisdom, discretion to correctly represent the Savior and uplift him and glorify him before others.
Elder Rob and everyone, I just want to give a little testimony as we talking about the topic. When I became a citizen, I didn't become a citizen here in the state that I had came to this country. I went and have the citizenship in another state. And anytime when people get into political or any kind of debate, I usually stay very quiet. But I think the quietness is when people come to ask you any question. When you become a citizen, you have to vote. If you don't exercise your first, amendment, right? That's what you can say? To be able to vote, then that means you're not participating. I remember when I was being interviewed, and they were saying, will you be at arms? And I wrote in the paper, I can't, because the law that actually supposed to rule over his people, it tells you in the Decalogue, thou shalt not kill. So he says, so in what way you are going to be able to participate in doing your duty as an American citizen? And then I said, I will be educating the people concerning their own law. So he said he had never heard that before. And I tell you, I didn't thought that on myself either. I really believe that the Lord touched my heart to be able to say that. Because a lot of people may not remember, but this country, the law that they have actually founded the country at the beginning was the Bible and their, that's supposed to be the Bill of Rights. Well, the thing about it, we move away from that. And I was going to school at that same period. I was taking American history. And I started to read about the amendment. And the more I read the amendment and the Bill of Rights, it's like I was reading the Old Testament. And I started to see, have we gone so far that the very foundation of our country was built upon it? And because they're not listening to what it was founded, that's why we're having a lot of problems. So when somebody tells me, so why you're not actually voting or you're not participating in different things, I always tell them, because if I do vote, the individual that I'm voting for will just tell me what he wants me to hear, but they all cannot do anything about the circumstances. The only one that could is the one that nobody want to listen to. I'd rather vote for someone that is going to have a solution to the problem and to renew the individuals in the land. I know people think I'm crazy, but I really believe that he's the only one that can truly bring everyone to exactly what we need to have. And if you notice, it needs to be born again in order for us to be able to do so. So it gives me an opportunity, and I thank God that when I told the representative or the official that was interviewing me that I will try my best to be able to educate the individual about the country, is to be able to let them know that the country was so blessed and is greater than any other country in the world because of the principle it was founded on. And I think that if we take our time to continue letting these people know that when we moved away from God, because to uproot that is to remove completely the foundation of how it was built. I just wanted to be able to share that.
Amen, and thank you, dear sister. And the foundational principles upon which the United States of America was established upon was the principles of republicanism and Protestantism. Republicanism, you're doing away with a monarchy, doing away with tyranny, being ruled by one person according to his whim, was not the principles that founded America. Republicanism did, the will of the people over the will of the leaders in government. And Protestantism, protesting against religious corruption, religious doctrines that are false, not according to God's word of truth, and upholding the Bible as the way of the Christian's life. And if you look at, if you compare America today by those principles of republicanism and Protestantism, you'll see a very different America. And it's prophesied that America is going to speak with the voice of the dragon, the voice of Satan, in taking away the very principles that founded her, republicanism and Protestantism principles. And we're edging ever closer to that. There was a comment made in the room here. It said, to misrepresent Jesus is to take his name in vain. And that is absolutely correct. The third commandment says that we're not to take the name of the Lord in vain. And the name of the Lord is not just God and Jesus Christ. It's not just the Father or the Son. His name represents his character. A child is known by what he does, not by his name. So God's name represents his character, not just the words, but the life. So if we've taken the name of Christ on ourselves, we're to take not just Christian, we're to take his life on ourselves. We're to represent him in character. And if we misrepresent Christ in character, then we're breaking the third commandment. We're taking his name in vain. So very good point, dear sister. Amen. That's true. Comment says, Christ's life is to walk as he did and does, or Christ-like, being like Christ. Amen. Another comment says, this is the purpose of God giving us the Ten Commandments. Amen. Question, it says, should we resist the onslaught of Sunday laws perpetrated by various governments by pen and voice in protest? I would say yes, because it's dealing with a religious issue, not so much just a political issue. And the last controversy in this great controversy is the issue of Sabbath versus Sunday. It's the issue of God's law versus man's law. And so indeed, we're not to remain silent when we see that God's law is being superseded by men's laws. Not to be silent at all. We're to alert everyone to the fact that Sunday is not God's Sabbath day. So if we have opportunity to try and prevent a Sunday law from being passed in the legislature, then we're to protest that. We're to alert as many people as possible that this law is a bad law, but we're not to try and legislate the opposite. We're not to try and bring in a law that says Saturday is God's Sabbath day and make it a law. Because ambassadors do not become involved in the political arena of the host nation that they reside in. So while ambassadors can protest against certain principles occurring in their host nation because they represent the king of a different nation, and those principles in that host nation contradict the principles for which they are representing of their king. So we can do the same here. If we're in America and the Sunday law is being debated and going to be passed, we have every right to protest against that. But we don't have a right to try and bring about a law that favors our particular religious persuasion. I hope I'm making myself clear. Passing a law dealing with enforcing a religious belief is no longer giving individuals the freedom of choice. It's taking away their freedom of choice. So even if the law that's being passed is 100% in agreement with Scripture, it's still taking away the freedom of choice. It's enforcing that particular religious belief. That makes it against Christ's kingdom. His kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is not with force. His kingdom is with persuasion. God says in Jeremiah, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. It's with love that Christ brings us to himself, persuades us to come to him, not with force, with love. And as God is love, then there's no better way to correctly represent our King than by loving one another. 1 Corinthians 13, love does not deal with force. Love hopes all things, beareth all things, believeth all things, but does not force. Amen. Comment in the room, it says, freedom of choice is a God-given right. Amen indeed. Another comment, it says, stand for truth, not debate. Amen. Another comment, it says, keep sharing our present truth materials to officials ignorant of the word can help. Amen indeed. Another comment, it says, freedom of conscience to worship God was why the U.S. was established. Amen. True. They were fleeing the religious persecution and intolerance from England that allowed the pilgrims to decide to come to America and risk their lives in doing so. And many of them did die. Any other thoughts? Any other comments? We're actually, this is the end of chapter 55, and next time we'll begin chapter 56. Another comment, it says, many people these days choose security over freedom just to be safe. They don't know that they are safe when they trust in God. Now, that's very true. And that is... that, I guess you can call it a ploy, that ploy to give up freedom in order to feel safe is going to become more and more of an issue as we near the end. Because we know that the Sunday law is not just going to be enforced in America, it's going to be enforced worldwide. And every nation of the earth is going to be forced to choose whether to receive the mark of the beast or to refuse that mark and choose to receive the seal of God. And part of the freedom that America was founded on was that no religious persuasion can be upheld by law. That's called religious freedom. You're free to choose which religion, which beliefs you adhere to or not to adhere to any religious beliefs. But Revelation 13 brings out the fact that the lamb-like beast, which is America, even though it was first established with the two-horn principles of republicanism and Protestantism, is going to speak with the voice of the dragon and do away with those foundational principles and thereby force the world to worship the beast, Roman Catholicism, and to receive its mark, worshiping on Sunday, the mark of Catholicism, the mark showing that the Pope of Rome, through the Vatican Vatican hierarchy, has the authority to change God's law from Saturday to Sunday. So worshiping on Sunday, when you know that it's only a commandment of Catholicism and not a commandment of God, you're thereby recognizing the authority of the Pope over the authority of God, and that is receiving the mark of the beast. If you choose to reject the mark of the beast and worship God according to his law, worshiping on Saturday, then you recognize God's authority to legislate law, and you receive the seal of God. So God doesn't force, but the beast, the dragon, and America does, or will soon do. Amen. God does not use force because force is contrary to love. Amen indeed. A question says, so America will become reprobate? If you mean by reprobate that they are completely against God, choosing to follow their own ways, and thus are without the blessing of God, then yes, that will happen. Yeah, we could already see it happening. Protestant America, most of Protestantism does not believe that God's law is to be kept, that it was nailed to the cross. And so there goes the Sabbath commandment as well. And there's nothing to prevent you from becoming reprobate without God's law in your heart. Amen. Sabbath observance is the seal of the Creator of the universe. Amen indeed. Another comment says, even the beast is forced to change his tone under pressure by stating that they were created by God that way. And so sad. Another comment, it says, if the law was nailed to the cross, then there is not a reason to change it. That's very observant, dear sister. Very observant. And you're absolutely right. If it's already done away with, then there's no need to change it. Then the fact. So that was not with outward show. Christ's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, not a literal kingdom. And we're all ambassadors of Christ to represent him in character. And thus, glorify his name. So that's the end of that chapter. And next time we'll pick it up with chapter 56. And would someone like to close with prayer? Please go right ahead.
If we could all kneel and bow our heads and our hearts. Our Father, we thank you for letting the Spirit to have this blessed day. We thank you for letting the Spirit to wake us up this morning, having a blessed day. Forgive us all for our sins, our iniquities, and our Christ-like spirits. Forgive us if we've done anything wrong in your sight with five and all. Let us be able to keep on showing mercy and compassion and love to any of our brethren. I pray that we may be able to keep on spreading the gospel however we can to any person who needs to understand or who wishes to as well. I also pray that you may be able to let us keep in mind that you're always there to help us no matter what troubles we may face. Let us be able to also keep on being grateful for everything that you've given us and everything that you've done for us. Also, I pray that you may be able to humble our hearts and humble our minds and that we may be able to choose thee above everything we know. Let us be able to also put you above of everything that we care about, and also I pray that you may be able to comfort us if there are any troubles that may be bothering us, make us either sad, angry, or even afraid. Let us be able to always feel secure, knowing that you are always our protection and our shield against anything or anyone that that may threaten to harm us. I also will pray that you may be able to keep on helping us, help us to learn things if we are confused, and to keep on learning of you, of all the lessons you taught us, and also of Bible history that may inspire us, that we may be able to keep on doing things better for our future, and also. I also pray that you may help with any of us if we are sick or injured or in any other conflict whatsoever. We love you, Lord God, looking forward to being in the land you promised us. This, my prayer in Jesus.
Amen, and thank you, dear brother. So be like Jesus in character. And may we indeed achieve that blessed goal. Let's go ahead and take a little more than a 10-minute break and return back here at 20 after 11 Pacific time or 20 after 2 Eastern time. And so we'll see you then. And actually, before we go, there's a prayer request here, so let us bow our heads. Precious Father in heaven, I pray that you'll be with our dear brother and others as they travel over in Africa. It is past sundown for them on the Sabbath, and the night of Sunday has occurred, and so please give them traveling mercies. Let them arrive safely at their destination, and especially bless the endeavors that will be taking place in spreading the present truth far and wide. Open hearts to receive it, and indeed let the light spread like wildfire through that region and reach the hearts of precious souls. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and thank you for answering this prayer. Amen. So, dear ones, we'll see you in a little more than 10 minutes.